Lesson 22. David in Exile. I cried unto thee, O Yahweh. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion. Saul's envy would only be satisfied by David's death. As king, he soon marshaled all his resources against David, who was caused to flee for his life, an exile from family and friends. In the uncertainty of the years that were to follow, David's faith grew even stronger as he learned to depend on God alone. God's loving care was upon David because of his uprightness and integrity. Though destined to become king of Israel, he did not presume upon the mercies of God, but sought him in prayer, and when answered, he obeyed. Moreover, David respected the life of Saul as Yahweh's anointed. He did not grasp the opportunities which seemed to offer immediately the prize of the kingdom, but which would have entailed a breach of the commandments. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. David was content to await God's time and God's way. Righteousness would yield its proper reward in God's good pleasure. Our aim in this lesson is to see that God preserves those who trust in him. David at the Cave of Adullam. Without any time to lose, David fled to Nob, the city of the priests. In the desperation of his plight, David pretended that he was on a secret mission of Saul, and so obtained from Ahimelech food, the showbread, and the sword of Goliath. He was even driven to Achish, the king of Gath, before whom, for fear of his life, he made himself out to be mad. He departed from Gath and came to the Cave Adullam, where a company numbering 400 men gathered about him. For various reasons, these men were unhappy with the reign of Saul. Everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. Many had come not for reasons of fellowship or sympathy, but mutual hostility towards Saul. They were generally a rough company, and oblivious of the principles which governed their sensitive and godly captain. Nevertheless, among them numbered the priest Abiathar, through whom David inquired of God, as well as the prophet Gad, who was to be a close associate for many years. Meanwhile, Saul mentioned his malicious intentions concerning David to the Benjamites. He appealed for their loyalty on the grounds that he, being of their tribe, would be more favorable to them than a king from the tribe of Judah. With this pathetic appeal, Doeg, the Edomite, who witnessed Ahimelech give David the showbread and sword, came forth and informed Saul how the priest had assisted David and inquired of Yahweh for him. Saul's hatred knew no bounds. He feared neither God nor men. Ahimelech and the priests were summoned to his presence, and when Ahimelech defended his action, Saul, in an atrocious act at which even his men rebelled, committed all the priests of God to the sword. Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, alone escaped and fled to David. The news of Saul's massacre confirmed David's worst fears, and he said to Abiathar, Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. It was now clear to all Israel that the price of collusion with David was death. The ungratefulness of the men of Keilah. News reached David that the Philistines, the implacable enemies of Israel, were fighting against Keilah and robbing their threshing floors. Such privations aroused David's wrath, and forgetting his own problems, and confide of God's help, he inquired of Yahweh, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? God's strength is ever made perfect in weakness, and he was told to go. But others in David's company did not share his trust in God, or jealousy for the people of God. As they were already in fear of Saul, why should they multiply enemies by engaging the Philistines as well? So they reasoned. Inquiry was made again of Yahweh, and a positive answer was again received with the assurance, "I will deliver the Philistines into your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah, and with characteristic valor, they smote the Philistines and took their cattle. Thus the inhabitants of Keilah were saved. Report soon reached Saul that David was in Keilah, a walled city with bars and gates. Saul interpreted this as a God-given opportunity to rid himself of the threat of David. Saul's hopes were as vain as his reasoning. Was it not glaringly obvious that God was with David? Did not God deliver the Philistines into his hand? Leaving nothing to chance, Saul rallied all the people to besiege Keilah. But such large-scale preparations could not go unbeknown to David. So David again made inquiry, "O Yahweh, God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Yahweh, God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant." Such faithful prayer received immediate response. The eyes of Yahweh are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. David was told Saul would come and that the men of Keilah would deliver him into his hand. Perhaps the men of Keilah remembered what happened to the priests at Nob. Allegiance to David could cost them their lives. Their trust lay in man and not God, for they would have betrayed the one who had saved them. What base ingratitude there is in the heart of men. So David was saved by God. The words of gratitude and praise recorded in Psalm 31 were probably written at this time. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Saul searches the wilderness of Ziph. David and his men, now numbering 600, escaped and abode in the stronghold and wilderness of the rugged Judean hills. All the while, Saul and his men searched for him. But though he eluded the trap of Saul, he was easy prey to the loving companionship of Jonathan. Jonathan found him and desired to strengthen his hand in God. There, in the solitude of the wood, the two friends united their hearts and hopes in the fear of Yahweh. "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth." But these hopes were not to be realized. This was to be their last communion together. Death would intervene, and Jonathan would not see King David. But in the mercy and truth of the God in whom they trusted, they both will arise in the future to unite in the praises and service of a king who is even greater than David. The treachery of the Ziphites. It was one thing to yield to Saul's pressure and hand over David, but worse, to curry favor with Saul by feeding him with information on David's whereabouts, as the Ziphites did. Saul told the Ziphites to make sure of their facts. He had not found David very easy to track down in the past, and he would come and search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. The Ziphites returned, but David was now in the wilderness of Maon. Saul and his men came down, and hearing that he was in the wilderness of Maon, pursued him there. A crisis had come, and David was in imminent danger. Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain, and David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. All appeared to be lost. David was about to be captured at last. But David had hidden strength his enemy knew not of. He had already committed himself to Yahweh's trust. "Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after soul. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. Yahweh is with them that uphold my soul." Psalm 54, verses 1 to 4, written at this time, according to the superscription. A most unexpected event happened. A messenger arrived at the camp of Saul with pressing news. The Philistines had invaded the land. Saul was obliged to retire immediately, if reluctantly. O love Yahweh, all ye his saints, for Yahweh preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. David spares Yahweh's anointed. No sooner had Saul dealt with the Philistines than he returned to pursue his enemy. David had by this time removed to the wilderness of En-Gedi, where the large caves afford protection. It so happened that Saul sought rest in the very cave where David and his men were hiding. Before their eyes in the eerie darkness, Saul closed his eyes in sleep. This provided an occasion where the greatness of David shone. David's men were not governed by a sensitive perception of the will of God. To them, the occasion provided an opportunity to do away with a hated enemy. Surely this was the will of God. But David's respected Yahweh's anointing oil. He restrained his men and crept forth and secretly cut off the skirt of Saul's robe. His conscience even smote him for presuming to do this. While he restrained his men with the words, Yahweh forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, Yahweh's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of Yahweh. In due course, Saul arose and went on his way, but his steps were arrested by the cry of David, My Lord the King! Saul looked behind him and saw the figure of David stooped with his face towards the ground. Here, the power of righteousness was seen. With the skirt in his hand, David showed Saul that his life was in his hand that day, and only by his insistence was he yet alive. Surely this was witness to his integrity. He rebuked Saul for concerning himself with one so insignificant, while he reminded him that ultimately God would judge between them and plead his cause. Saul was humbled by David's integrity and experienced a moment of sanity. He acknowledged that David was more righteous than he, in rewarding him good for evil by sparing his life. He even called upon Yahweh to bless David and went on to declare his conviction that David would succeed him on the throne of Israel, and asked that David would at that time show favor to his house. We might pose the question, if this was his conviction, why did Saul not bow to it? Pride and power derange judgment and balance. With the lowly, there is wisdom. Though once small in his own sight, Saul was now too entrenched in his position to relinquish the throne. Yet in returning good for evil, David had baffled Saul. In the soberness of the occasion, all Saul could do was to go home, while David remained at a safe distance. The lessons for us. In the extremities of his exile, David was caused to rest heavily on God, for vain was the help of man. This poor man cried, and Yahweh heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. David's faith in providence made him eschew evil in every way, even when it constrained the promise of immediate attainment of the goal God had promised him. Saints must restrain themselves and wait patiently and faithfully for the day of Christ's return and the fulfillment of their hopes. Vengeance belongs unto God.